right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
All right, enough. I cut it off.
Wow.
We don't have time.
That was abrupt.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 190. We're calling it England Filler.
Is that what this is?
Yeah, because it's just a little something to tide you over while OG visits the motherland.
That's right.
Not his motherland, because he's a guinea.
Right, exactly.
And you pass over mine to get to where you're going.
Exactly. So, you know, that's something like that.
Yeah.
So we have for you tonight a couple of interviews.
Yeah, some recent stuff that we picked up at, I think all of these were at the most recent Chiller Theater convention.
That is correct, Amundo.
So we would be, we get these from time to time, and periodically on occasions like this we'll use them. We don't have a lot of occasions like this, but we're gonna.
We're show enough.
So we're going to be using those today.
Absolutely.
And let's kick off with the first one. We're going to go at it strong.
All right.
Armstrong.
Oh,
Curtis Armstrong.
Booger.
That's right. Dudley Dawson, a.k.a. Booger from Revenge of the Nerds. You may also know him from such films as Risky Business and One Crazy Summer.
And Better Off Dead.
Yes, I forgot the name there.
And
you want me to say Moonlighting, except I've never seen an episode of that show.
You never ever watched Moonlighting?
No, did you?
Yeah, I did watch a bunch of Moonlighting.
Were you like six when they were out?
It was 89, so I was like 8. Or 80, was it 86, 89? Somewhere, so I was like somewhere between 6 and 8. But, you know, okay. Bruce Willis and, was it Cybill Shepherd? Right?
It was.
And Curtis Armstrong.
Yes. And other people.
And other persons.
Yes. But, yeah, so I had a chance to catch up with Curtis to talk about his legendary film status, is the way I put it. And
right.
Here's what he had to say. Hey, it's Big Kev. I'm here at the Chiller Convention with comedy superstar, film legend, Curtis Armstrong. How are you, Curtis?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Were you a little taken aback by the fact that I called you the legend?
Yes, I was stunned. I was shocked and stunned.
You are aware that you're in like three of the greatest screwball comedies of the 80s, and clearly one of the other, I would say, best movies of the 80s.
I am. It was not what I was aware of at the time. It was just sort of a job, and I didn't think that they were necessarily going to have any kind of real legs. And it is a constant amazement to me that they have stayed so fresh for so long for people.
And of course, we're talking about films like Revenge of the Nerds, Risky Business, Better Off Dead, One Crazy Summer, and it is fair to say that you stole the scenes that you were in those movies. Do you agree or disagree?
I could never say. At the best, I think it would be, I was very lucky in getting parts that were really entertaining and somewhat larger than life, and well-written parts, and I lucked out. I just lucked out with those movies in the 80s. There was really nothing that I was expecting.
You created some classic characters, and we want to wrap this up. Can you give us a few words on Dudley Dawson, a.k.a. Booger?
Well, Dudley was he was not at all what he turned out to be in the script. He was a biker, essentially, in the original script. But when we went to Tucson to shoot it, we wound up doing a lot of rewriting and improvising, and it all wound up being developed into what he turned out to be, which was an antisocial freak who found a home with the nerds because the nerds accepted him for whom he was.
That's terrific. Thanks so much for your time, Mr. Armstrong. It's been an absolute pleasure meeting you.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Big Kev. We'll see you.
So there it is.
He's a very, very humble man.
Very humble.
Taken aback.
He is.
By your legendary
my comments. Well, you have to admit, you know, without going on a tangent here, I mean, those are some crazy films, even to this day. I mean, they're widely, Revenge of the Nerds, Better Off Dead is a classic.
Yeah, I mean, it's some epic stuff.
I mean, classic stuff.
Yeah, man.
One Crazy Summer may be a step down from classic.
I don't know,
still,
though.
One of the Savage Steve Holland films.
Yeah, I mean, that's up
and
there.
Risky Business is like the Tom Cruise break.
That's what I'm screaming.
So, and again, I didn't bother to mention Moonlight.
And we really didn't find out what he was doing now. I think he's doing like bit.
He does. Yeah,
like,
he shows
on
up.
A couple episodes of CSI, I think, maybe. And
yeah, he might have been.
Law and Order 2,
one
I
of them.
Like, something. Yeah,
was he on House?
Yeah. I mean, he does voice work. He does an American Dad.
Right.
So he's in with that group of folks.
Yeah, he pops up now and again. I remember the 70s show was on. He played like.
Oh, yeah.
He was DJ.
Yeah.
They never saw him. And like, wasn't Donna like. Crushing on him or something, but I'd never seen him. And
yeah,
then he came out and he was
like the shock jock.
All booger-like and whatever the situation was. But anyway, he turns up from time to time.
Sure.
Curtis Armstrong, there it is. It was a pleasure speaking with him.
Absolutely.
And let's roll right into our next one, as one would roll an R when saying Rita Moreno. Hey, it's Big Kev. I'm here at the con with film legend Rita Moreno. How are you, Miss Moreno?
Thank you for saying Moreno and not Marino. I love you already.
I took my Spanish in high school, I know.
I guess you did.
Everyone, of course, knows Rita from such great films as The King and I and West Side Story, but my roots start with The Electric Company.
Oh, did I help teach you to read?
And many other things.
Isn't that nice? Oh, I love that show. I'm very proud of it. And as you can see today, I brought pictures with me from The Electric Company, including one with Morgan Freeman.
I know. And now that Morgan Freeman also getting one of his early starts on The Electric Company as well. Can you give us a couple of reflections on a couple of the movies that I mentioned earlier, The King and I, one of your earlier films? Can you give us some reflection on that?
Well, I got the opportunity to work with Jerome Robbins, that genius choreographer. And because of that, I eventually did his only other film, which was The West Side Story. So it was really a privilege to have worked with someone as brilliant as Jerry Robbins. And, of course, needless to say, Yul Brynner, whom I loved.
Of course. And just to wrap up now, can you give us some reflections on some of the things you've been doing more lately?
Well,
like Oz and those sorts of TV programs.
And as you can see, I have a picture here with Chris Maloney from Oz also. Oh, I loved working Oz. I thought that was just the most amazing series. It was intense and violent and difficult, but what a unique show that was. And remember, if people forget, that was before The Sopranos. We were the first ones to do stuff that was that intense.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Have a good day.
I never knew you were fluent in more than one language.
There you go. She was very impressed that I said her name correct.
She was very impressed.
You got to admit.
And good for you.
I mean, as far as TV and film people go, Rita Moreno has been around. She's done it all.
She's done some crazy stuff. I mean, you know, you go back.
Yeah.
But, like, you know.
Classic movie musicals.
Right, right.
Right? Two, I mean, classic.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Big time, all-star musicals. Fucking King and I. I mean,
absolutely.
Fucking huge.
Fucking West Side Story.
Yeah, I mean.
Fucking huge.
Yeah, huge.
I'd say West Side Story, bigger than King and I.
I have to say also that as her line was forming for her to get autographs and so on, I noticed a lot of Friends of Dorothy on the line.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And that was, I mean, it stands to reason. That said, the flip side, she was on Oz for, all those years.
I know.
Again, Friends of Dorothy would probably come out for that reason as well. But there it is. Rita Moreno, actually a very, very nice woman, I have to
very
say.
Very pleasant.
She was about this big. I'm making the inch sign with my forefinger. Very tiny woman, but very nice, and what a terrific person to get a chance to talk to. And I have to say, one of my favorite television miniseries,
yes,
of the 80s, and there were so many of them. They were created in the 80s.
They were.
You know.
I know.
One of my favorites that I felt crossed over, because a lot of them were like. Focused on women and so on and so forth, and you know, that sort of clientele.
Right.
Those sort of nighttime drama, soap opera type things like Dynasty. And
right, yeah.
Those sorts of things.
Falcon's Crest.
And Dallas.
Dallas.
Yeah, they were all very popular then. And then, of course, a miniseries came out to the same effect. Amongst those miniseries was Shogun.
Right.
Absolutely my favorite. It was absolutely terrific. Violent for TV. Introduced most of us, me in particular, I think, to ninjas and samurais.
Oh, yes.
And the culture of feudal Japan.
Absolutely.
And the language and all that stuff. And
I wonder
and
if that show holds up. I haven't watched an episode of that show in years.
It does. I have it on DVD.
I'm sure you do. I'm not surprised by that.
I don't think it's on the Blu-ray, but I have it on DVD.
But
if you'd like to borrow.
Does it still hold up?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Because, you know, sometimes you go back and you watch those shows and you're like...
Yeah, they're a little... you know who's in there? What's his name? Jonathan Rhys Davies?
Oh,
was that Sala?
Was that Sala?
Jonathan Rhys, isn't that who that was?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Well, anyway, while OG looks that up, check out this interview with the star of Shogun, Richard Chamberlain. Hey, it's Big Kev. I'm here with TV legend Richard Chamberlain. How are you, sir?
Hi, fine. Very happy to be here.
Of course, many people know you from Dr. Kildare, the classic TV show, and the miniseries. Of course, the Thornbirds. But for myself personally, my listeners, it's all about Shogun.
Shogun was a great one. Men like Shogun, women like the Thornbirds.
And children of my age at the time when Shogun came out, it's our first taste into Japanese culture of that time. Can you give us some reflections on Shogun, the performance, the longevity, and so forth?
Well, it started out with this incredible book by James Clavell, a wonderful, wonderful story. We filmed the whole thing in Japan. It took 6.5 months. And it was wonderful for America because Americans didn't know that much about Japan. And it was very informative about Japanese history and actually the Japanese language, along with being a thrilling story. It was a wonderful thing to do.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. What are you working on now, Mr. Chamberlain?
I just finished a Leverage, you know, with Timothy Hutton. And I'm going into an independent movie. I can't tell you the name of it because I'm not sure I'm supposed to yet.
That's terrific. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Yes, he was Sala. He was also Gimli.
Not Richard Chamberlain.
No.
Jonathan Rhys Davies.
Jonathan Rhys Davies.
We have that information now.
We have that post-interview.
Right.
Facts now.
He was in Shogun.
He was
Sala in the Indiana Jones movies.
Correct.
Two of them.
Right.
And he was... also Gimli in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
That is correct.
So, yes. But the interview was with Richard Chamberlain, of course, who's been around on TV for years and years in films and things. And another terrific guy took time to talk to us, made some really great points about Shogun introducing the Japanese culture, at least the feudal Japanese culture, to America, I think.
And I don't think I've ever seen an episode of the Thornbirds.
No,
just
getting
that out there.
No, I didn't either.
I don't think
Thornbirds
I seriously...
was the only thing I know about the Thornbirds was it was like the priest and he was in love with the girl. And
yeah.
I know there was a joke in Cannonball Run about it where Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. were disguised as priests and he was hitting on a girl. Dean Martin was hitting on a girl and the girl slaps him. And as she's walking away, he says, "Haven't you ever seen Thornbirds?"
That's
all
it.
I remember.
Yeah,
I remember.
I don't think I've ever seen a single episode.
Well, if you want to borrow Shogun, I got it on the DVD.
All right.
You're not taking it on the plane, though.
No, I don't want it on the plane.
Because when the volcano... Well, anyway. So in any event, let's round out the episode tonight by talking, or playing, rather, our interview with Dr. Mayim Bialik.
Yes.
From Blossom and soon-to-be Big Bang Theory fame.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and she's a swell gal. I did not ask her about Jenna Van Oy, who you may know better as Six from Blossom, but we can discuss that when we come back. This is a Dr. Mayim Bialik. Okay, it's Big Kev. I'm here at the show with sitcom child star legend Mayim Bialik. How are you?
I'm okay. That's quite an intro.
Should I refer to you as Dr. Bialik now?
Rarely am I referred to as Dr. Bialik, but yes, theoretically, I do have a doctorate.
And it is in neuroscience, is that correct?
Correct. I got my degree 2 years ago from UCLA.
And tell me, just because we have a few minutes, I'd like to know, how does one make the transition from playing Blossom to the field of neuroscience?
I got interested in science in high school, and it happened to be when I was also starring in a television show, but really just loved science. I had an incredible tutor who's now a dental surgeon, and she really just made it incredible for me. And when I went to college, I didn't want to study theater or acting because those people would chew me up and spit me out. I was a sitcom actor, so I studied what I loved, and that was science.
And so what is it? What are you doing with it now? Are you a research doctor, that sort of thing?
No, I mean, you know, obviously, if I'm acting again, that means I'm not having a research professorship. And also, I got pregnant with our second child when I filed my thesis. And so really being with our kids is more the lifestyle my husband and I are looking for. And believe it or not, acting is much more flexible than a professorship.
Are you prepared for a lot of, wow, Blossom has two kids?
Yeah, I mean, I think I make a lot of people feel old when they realize that I'm old enough to have two kids. But, you know, people say I don't look that different, but I promise I've had two kids. I look very different.
Oh, I don't think you look that different. You're a little taller than.
Thank you. You should see me in a bikini. I look very different than I did at 19.
Okay, speaking of bikinis, not at all. Let's talk about your return to the sitcom with your appearance on the upcoming finale of Big Bang Season 3.
Yeah, I went on an audition to play the female version of Sheldon, and had never seen the show, so I YouTubed it that night that I got the audition, and did my best to be as socially awkward and bizarre as, you know, his character is, and I booked the part, and I'm in the season finale, and hopefully first couple episodes of next season is what we're hoping for.
So you think you will be recurring a little bit?
Well, the season finale is quite the cliffhanger in terms of what's going to happen. I mean, obviously, Sheldon's, not only his sexuality, but, you know, his whole being in terms of females or the possibility of social interaction is very up in the air. So to introduce this character who really is kind of a match for him, I think is going to be very exciting, you know, to end the season on.
That's terrific. And what else, as we wrap up here, what else besides this this wonderful return to the sitcom world, Doctor, what else do you have going on?
That's my best bet at this point, you know. Big Bang Theory, I mean, it's the biggest thing that I've really done. I mean, Secret Life of the American Teenager is great. I'm on Till Death. There's a little Blossom reunion on Till Death next Sunday. So it's been super fun. But, you know, to be on a show like Big Bang Theory, there's really nothing like that, you know, for this kind of career where I wasn't even sure I would be acting again.
That's terrific. Thanks so much, Mayim, for all of your time. I'm sorry, Doctor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Two kids. Who knew?
Married with two kids.
I do feel old. She's right.
See, I don't feel old.
Make a little. Well, you were already like 80 when Blossom was on. So.
Oh, was I? I was 80?
Yeah, 80. Somewhere cute. In that ballpark, right?
It's cute. No, it's cute. You're just upset because I dated Jenna Van Oy.
And, well, you know, she's kind of hot. Still.
Oh, I know, sir.
Still.
I know.
We have people that agree with us on that.
I know. Actually, let's play that phone call really quick.
Hey, this is Vicious Smith calling in to help you with a very important question that you guys had. You were debating over it, and I wanted to help you out, maybe win a prize. So, yeah, here's the answer that you guys were looking for. Jenna Van Oy is incredibly sexy, even to this day. I hope to help you out. Bye-bye.
So there you go. Vicious Smith thinks Jenna Van Oy is still hot. She always looked to me, and still does, kind of like half a midget. Like she got some midget blood.
That's all right. It's the good half.
Look, I'm not saying it's a bad thing or anything. I'm not saying Jenna Van Oy is not an attractive young lady. She certainly is. But I don't know. I think I liked her better when she was a teenager, maybe.
Pedo.
No, not pedo. 18 is a teenager. 19 is a teenager.
Just saying.
Those aren't pedo ages.
All right.
And I was around that age when that show was on, wasn't I?
80?
80, yeah. No, it wasn't on in 1980, nerd.
Anyway.
Yes. So there you go. A couple of recent interviews that we've done out in the field, as they say, at the Chiller Theater Convention. You know, if you'd like to attend one of these fine Chiller conventions, you can go to chillertheater.com. I think it's the English spelling, T-H-E-A-T-R-E, I think, chillertheater.com, or Google it. You'll find out the information on their next exciting show, which I think is probably around Halloween. I don't know if they've started posting guests or not there. Have they started posting guests, OG?
No, they have not begun posting guests yet.
Okay, well, I'm sure they will soon, so you can check that out over at chillertheater.com. And, yeah, you can meet and greet some of these fabulous people that you hear us talk about on the show. Yeah, they're nice people. So there it is, Chiller Theater. That's our show for tonight, episode 190, England Filler. And we'll catch up with you in episode 191 sometime in the near future.
Right.
OG, stay safe in England. You know, that's a savage country over there.
I know.
Are you going to visit friends?
I believe I'm going to visit friends.
Some friends of ours?
I hope so.
Adrian Forner?
That is correct.
And Atomic Comics, Matt?
That is the theory.
Wow. And we'll end the show, as we end all shows, by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Don't know about the future, that's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed. Fire up your pad and pencil, I give you a piece of my mind. In my opinionation, the sun is gonna surely shine. Stop all your fussing, slap on a smile. Come out and walk in the sun for a while. Don't fight the feeling, you know you wanna have a good time. And in my opinionation, the sun is gonna surely shine.